program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Tom Lear's words could hardly be more appropriate today. Russian state media warns Putin's hypersonic missiles would instantly vaporize these five U.S. targets in a nuclear war. It's astonishing. I do not believe this has ever happened before, that we would have a situation where one massively nuclear-armed nation would be so specific about targeting cities in another nuclear-armed nation. I believe I understand the rationale, which I'm going to explain. Let me follow up on the story. Russian state media Sunday identified five U.S. targets Russia would seek to destroy in a nuclear war, and claimed Russia's new hypersonic Zircon missile could strike U.S. targets less than 5 minutes after launch. Days earlier, Russian President Vladimir Putin threatened the U.S. and said he was ready for a Cuban missile-style crisis. Russia has said that if the U.S. positions new missiles in Europe in the wake of the INF Treaty, it could send ships and submarines armed with new hypersonic missiles to lurk off the U.S. coast. Days after President Vladimir Putin threatened the U.S., a Russian state TV channel pinpointed place in the U.S. Russia would target in a nuclear war with its new Zircon missile, said to travel at up to 9 times the speed of sound, according to Reuters. The targets listed in Russia One's broadcast Sunday evening were the Pentagon, Camp David, Jim Creek Naval Radio Station in Washington, Fort Ritchie in Maryland, and McClellan Air Force Base in California, according to Reuters and the Russian media outlet Sputnik. The latter two have been closed for about 2 decades, making them odd choices, according to Sputnik. Let me give you my take on all of this. We know the United States has been far, far too aggressive now in treating Russia, imposing sanctions, causing its ambassadors to be withdrawn. This is a very appropriate response by Putin in light of what I believe is in fact the case. Russian U.S. foreign policy toward Russia is not under the control of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama. Rather, it appears to me to be dictated by Bibi Netanyahu, where Israel would like nothing more than for the U.S. and Russia to engage in a nuclear war. That is astounding. That sounds shocking. But the evidence, I believe, when you look at it in its totality, appears to be precisely the situation we are in. As I've reported endlessly, the mainstream media is controlled by the Zionists. As I've explained, I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN. All 100 are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. I have another panel of 100 executives from NBC. All 100 are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. I have a third panel from the New York Times. All of 100 executives, all 100 are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. So the Israelis, the Zionists, threw in for Biden and against Trump. They massively suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop. They fabricated numbers. They supported the coronavirus lockdown, which had the political ramification of depriving the president of his massive rallies, which overshadowed any ever before seen in the history of American politics. They provided a pseudo justification for hiding away the cognitively impaired Joe Biden, a feeble candidate under the best of circumstances, in a basement on the grounds of the threat of the coronavirus. And of course, the lockdown took away the economy, the surging economy, which was Donald Trump's strongest asset going into the election. Nevertheless, he won going away. The latest numbers I have from Michael Flynn were that Trump got like 79 million votes and Biden 68. It was an enormous, overwhelming win. Sidney Powell actually put out a map, an electoral map, showing that Trump had won the nation from coast to coast. He even carried California. He even carried Minnesota, both of which, incidentally, I had been predicting based upon sources I have in both states, where I was born in California, where I spent 19 years as a faculty member of the University of Minnesota on the Duluth campus. So that I know both states very, very well. I was unsurprised. The disenchantment with the lockdowns, with the rioting, with the looting, all absolutely stunning stuff that I was certain was going to work to the advantage of Trump and to the disadvantage of Biden. And indeed, according to Sidney Powell's map, Donald Trump actually won 410 electoral votes, one of the great landslides of American political history. I think we'd have to go back to LBJ, who benefited from the political sentiment supporting his precursor, JFK, the public being oblivious of the fact that Lyndon had had Jack taken out so that he could ascend to the presidency. History is laden with ironies that among the most, historically, of course, great leaders, Julius Caesar, for example, among many others, have been betrayed by close friends and allies. Remember, et tu Brute? Et tu Brutus? Are you also Brutus? Caesar's closest friend participating in his assassination by the Senate. In Rome, I mean, absolutely stunning stuff. There's much more about it, which you can pick up if you want to go on to BitChute, for example, check out JFK, who is responsible and why, and you get a full accounting. But what we have here now is the theft of this election has put America, the United States, in a completely precarious position. I guarantee 100% U.S. foreign policy is being dictated by Bibi Netanyahu. Joe Biden has very little to do with it. This guy is, in fact, a body double, as I explained after the first debate with Donald Trump. There was something wrong. James Wood was the first to point out that he had brown hairs, where Biden has blue, that he had a narrower skull, that he was cognitively competent, whereas Biden was not, that he had an ear that attached directly to the skin on the right side, whereas Biden had a pendant ear, the ear curls up, where my conclusion that this was a body double was subsequently confirmed by a pharmacist, no less, because he's used to verifying signatures for prescriptions, who noticed that the executive orders that were being signed by the man, ostensibly but not actually in the White House, but apparently on a set for the Oval Office, of which there are several around the country, did not have a signature that was the same as Joe Biden's signature. Very, very different. Not only that, but when he began signing with his left hand, whereas Biden is right-handed. And where, but they switched over to conceal the difference. And where, as I've also observed, I took a look at the social distancing in relation to his wife, Jill. And when the real Joe Biden was with Jill, they were hand in hand, arm in arm. Jill was beaming. She was really, truly adoring of her husband, Joe. He'd have this shitting smile on his face when she's with this other guy. This body double, they're not hand in hand. They're not arm in arm. She's not smiling. She's looking concerned. He doesn't have a big smile on his face. It's because it's not the same guy. So who the hell is this person that's pretending to be president of the United States? I've also reported, in case anyone missed it, that the inauguration was a similarly staged event. It was pre-recorded. It turned up in Spain 7 hours before the event. I was noticing as it was going down, ostensibly in real time, that it was taking place prematurely. What I was seeing was happening 10 or 15 minutes before noon Eastern time, which meant it was taking place during the last segments of the Trump administration and therefore was legally invalid. A friend of mine was switching channels and finding, though it was they were ostensibly reporting the same event in real time, they were reporting different segments of the event, which meant, of course, it wasn't taking place in real time. Not only, but for further confirmation, it ended with a spectacular fireworks display, but no one in Washington, D.C. observed the spectacular fireworks display. It was Hollywood generated. It was a cinematic phenomenon. This is embarrassingly bad. To the best of my knowledge, Joe Biden has still not occupied the White House. He's been directed not to come on Pentagon ground. The only locations he goes to are those that are publicly accessible. For example, in order to offset the idea that he was unwelcome at the Pentagon, they organized a, 25-car caravan to go over for Biden to visit the visitor center. Not the officials running the Pentagon, but the visitor center. And in just in the last few days, he made a visit to Arlington Cemetery once again. Ostensibly, of course, to express respect for veterans, but in fact, it was publicly accessible terrain, nothing peculiar to the President of the United States. So I gotta say, Putin is being very blunt about this, identifying these targets, and what it tells me when Sputnik claims several of these targets were have been abandoned, I'm convinced what that really means is, while they may have been closed for two decades, there are underground bases there. In other words, by targeting those specific targets, Russia is indicating to the American military that they know the reality that these five bases are actually absolutely critical to the command and control structure of the American military. This has to send a shiver up the spine of every flag officer and administrator in the Pentagon who actually knows the score. And Putin is being so blunt because he doesn't want Americans to not get the message about the seriousness of the declaration by Floyd Austin, who's our ersatz Secretary of Defense, declaring to the Ukrainian counterpart that there will be unwavering support from America if Ukraine engages in a military action with Russia. This is complete nonsense. Ukraine is not a member of NATO. Russia has a great interest in Ukraine, with which it shares a border. Ukraine and Crimea were both in the past an important part of Russia and of the Soviet Union. It was Nikita Khrushchev, himself an ethnic Ukrainian, who declared the independence of the Ukraine, which was insignificant, inconsequential, with the continuation of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. But with the dissolution of the USSR in 1991, it became a significant issue, where Zbigniew Brzezinski, often touted as one of our leading geopolitical strategists in his book, The Grand Chessboard, indicated that since historically Ukraine had been the breadbasket for Russia, meaning a source of its food supply, breadbasket, that if Ukraine could be pried away from Russia, it would greatly weaken the bear. Well, Zbigniew was a Russophile. He hated Russia for no good reason. I and many other students of international politics believe that there's a great affinity, a natural accord and harmony between the Russian people and the American people, that Donald Trump was embarking on precisely the right course when he wanted to improve relations with Russia, that he appears to have been given the message by Barack Obama during a conversation originally scheduled for 30 minutes that wind up going 2 hours and 30, where Trump came out appearing very shaken by what he had been told. Mark my words, when a true history is written of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama will turn out to have been one of the greatest traitors to the United States in its history. And it is, of course, one of the reasons the founders insisted that any president of the United States must be a natural-born citizen, that it was leading Democrats, including Howard Dean, I'm embarrassed to say, whom I once regarded as a good guy, and a host of other prominent Democrats who falsely certified that Barack Obama was eligible to serve, when in fact, the whole world knows that his Hawaiian birth certificate was fraudulent. I had an expert on one of my shows, and we went through the layers and layers upon layers of proof that the Hawaiian birth certificate was fraudulent, where in my own research, I unearthed two Kenyan birth certificates, one of which appears to be authentic, that even shows the footprint of the newborn baby boy. The other, however, an obvious forgery having signatures of officials who were not in office at the time that the birth certificate was issued, undoubtedly so that if a question arose about a Kenyan birth certificate, they could trade on the ambiguity and declare that it had been shown to be a forgery, which was true of the one fabricated specifically for that purpose, but untrue of the other, which appears to be completely authentic, and where those who travel to Kenya will discover they have a monument to the first Kenyan president of the United States, not understanding, not knowing, not grasping that there cannot be a Kenyan president of the United States, and where many are aware that the first action that Barack Obama took when he became president was to secure all of his education records, which would have shown that he was on scholarships only available to foreign students. I have a copy of a Columbia University student ID card identifying Barack Obama, replete with his photograph, as a foreign student. I was at Columbia myself the third year of my graduate work doing my outside minor in philosophy, where Columbia had an excellent department of philosophy, and then returned to Indiana the following year to complete my PhD in the history and the philosophy of science. I'm telling you, Putin wants everyone to understand the seriousness of the situation. You're not going to get it from the mainstream because the Zionists who control our media want this to happen. They are manipulating the situation behind the scene. I cannot stress to you sufficiently how serious the situation is. The article continues. Russia one claimed the Zircon missile Russia is developing could strike critical U.S. targets less than 5 minutes after launch, Reuters reported. Fired from a submarine, a hypersonic weapon can cover great distances very quickly. However, Russia's claims concerning its new weapon are impossible to verify. Well, let me add as an aside, believe me, Russian weaponry is far superior to American. They have the best anti-missile missiles in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. They have the best anti-ship missiles in the world. They have such a complex trajectory. They travel at such a high speed that they're impossible to defeat by any technology of which I am aware the U.S. has in its possession. If we were to go to war with Russia, Americans would not be happy with the outcome. The article continues. Tensions have been flaring between the U.S. and Russia since the two countries earlier this year walked away from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, a Cold War-era nuclear arms agreement that NATO and the U.S. have accused Russia of violating. Observers have said the collapse of this bilateral pact risks escalating an arms race between the two nuclear powers. Well, let me observe that when the dissolution of Russia took place, Ronald Reagan, then president, negotiated with Mikhail Gorbachev the conditions under which this dissolution would take place, receiving solemn assurances that the United States, the Western Bloc, would make no attempt to encroach upon the Eastern European nations that now were becoming independent republicans or seek to convert them to NATO. We have violated those agreements again and again and again. We also declared we would not put missile batteries along the border of Russia. We have done that again and again and again. Russia has every right to disbelieve the United States, to distrust our motives, and to take measures to defend itself against what is an all too obvious encirclement of their nation, much of which was predicated on the false pretext of defending against missile attacks from Iran, when, as I have endlessly reported, Iran is the most peace-loving great nation in the world. Iran, although it defended itself against the onslaught launched by Iraq with the encouragement of the United States, a vast war in which both sides lost about 1 million on each side, has not launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1775. 1775. Let me just observe, to put that in historical perspective, the ratification of the Constitution began in 1787. George Washington was elected our first president in 1789. anyone who thinks that Iran is a warlike nation does not know what they're talking about. They're being duped by propaganda. It's absolutely unbelievable. Many Americans believe that the Iranians launched the first attack on the United States by seizing our embassy in 1973. What they ignore, 79, what they ignore is that the United States had executed a coup against a democratically elected government of Iran in 1953. Kermit Roosevelt, a cousin of Teddy, executed the Operation Ajax, which was really intended to bring Iranian oil back under control of the British American oil companies, whereas Mossadegh, the Iranian PM at the time, had moved to nationalize to benefit the Iranian people. I'm doing a show, Jan.
I know, but I'm in the doctor's office.
Oh.
I hear you.
Call him back. Call him back.
Just take it off and then I'll take it off the
phone. Okay. So, Russia is particularly concerned about the possibility the U.S. will position new missiles in Europe, where Washington claims it has no plans to do so, but is backing out of the treaty frees it to develop and eventually deploy these weapons in Europe if it deems such actions to be necessary. Mark my words. Russia has every good reason to warn the United States of the potential calamity that awaits America should we continue to embark on our reckless actions, not only in Eastern Europe, especially in relation to Ukraine, but in the Middle East as well. I hate to bring you such sobering news, but Americans need to know. I'm so glad to have this opportunity to share such a vital story, much more taking place when we return from this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We have a bombshell report coming from a highly unusual source revealing that the Capitol Police were ordered to stand down on January 6th. Surprise, surprise, raising the question, who made the call? In a new report, the New York Times stated that Capitol Police were told to stand down during the January 6th riot at the Capitol. According to a 104-page document obtained by investigators, leaders were warned of the pre-planned violence, but instead of being proactive, officers were just told to stand down and allow the riot to happen. And the question remains, who made the call? Well, most of you who have been listening to this show won't have any doubt about who made the call. The person in charge of the Capitol Police is the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Who would have benefited more from disruption of discussion and debate about evidence of election theft and voter fraud than Nancy Pelosi? Who would have had a greater motive and desire to attempt to discredit Trump supporters than Nancy Pelosi? And in fact, we know that it was actually conducted by a group of Antifa members who were masquerading as Trump supporters, wearing Trump paraphernalia, but where James, the brother of John Sullivan, for example, who's a well-known Antifa member, reported that James had led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol. We also know, as I've reported many times in the past, that Trump was holding a rally at the Ellipse, which was a mile and a half away, that Trump did not complete his presentation until 1:11 p.m., 11 minutes after 1 p.m., that the intrusion at the Capitol began as early as 12:45, that the Capitol Police were already calling for reinforcement, And as anyone knows of Trump supporters, when Donald Trump is giving a speech, they don't leave. They listen to every single word the man has to say. And it would have been impossible for them to have been there in time. So what do we have? Well, it includes the following tweets. Breaking news. The Capitol Police were told not to use their most aggressive tactics ahead of the January 6th riot, despite warnings of violence in which Congress itself is the target, according to a new report by an internal investigator. We have photographs and tweets. Remember when the police let the protesters in? Me too. We have another. We have the same account coming from multiple sources. Here we have the further report. The Capitol Police had clear advance warning about the January 6th attack than were previously known, including the potential for violence in which Congress itself was the target, but officers were instructed by their leaders not to use their most aggressive tactics to hold off the mob, according to a scathing new report by the agency's internal investigator. In a 104-page document, the Inspector General, Michael A. Bolton, criticized the way the Capitol Police prepared for and responded to the mob violence on January 6th. The report was reviewed by the New York Times and was the subject already of a hearing beginning yesterday. Mr. Bolton found the agency's leaders failed to adequately prepare despite explicit warnings that pro-Trump extremists posed a threat to law enforcement and civilians, and that the police used defective protective equipment. He also found that the leaders ordered their civilian disturbance unit to refrain from using its most powerful crowd control tools, like stun grenades, to put down the onslaught. The report offers the most devastating account to date of the lapses and miscalculations around the most violent attack on the Capitol in two centuries. Here's another tweet about it. Little by little, the real truth finally rises. The New York Times had finally confirmed what many political observers had been saying about the Capitol riots. It was pre-planned. The Capitol Police knew it was coming, and authorities effectively gave a stand-down order. A couple of months ago, the mainstream media thought the idea that the Capitol Police let protesters into the Capitol building was a conspiracy theory. But now they're reporting it as truth, 3 months too late. And here we have further evidence of what was going on. Antifa. CNN paid Antifa agitator at Capitol riots. Now we've got the receipts to prove it. And here again, James, brother of accused leftist provocateur John Sullivan, claims 226 Antifa members started the Capitol riots. Well, that's pretty damn fascinating stuff. We also know, by the way, that the Department of Justice has now closed its investigation of the police shooting in the death of Ashley Babbitt with no charges filed. Think about it. The Biden Justice Department announced Wednesday it has closed the investigation into the homicide death of Trump supporter Ashley Babbitt that took place inside the Capitol during the January 6th riot. This is while Congress was meeting in joint session to certify the November presidential election in favor of Joe Biden. How many falsehoods are contained there? The death was completely staged. The whole riot was orchestrated. I have a 21-minute video in which you can see directors and managers in the front of the Capitol telling protesters where to go and what to do. It also follows the crowd inside the Capitol where Ashley Babbitt was designated to break through a window into a part of the corridor that had been closed off. She was still attempting to get through the window when she was purportedly shot. What's most interesting about it include the following. The officer who shot her was not in any danger. Ashley Babbitt was nowhere near him. She was at least 8 or 10 feet away, number one. Number two, while there was the sound of a shot, there's no evidence that it actually was a shot. I suspect it was a blank, just as we had in the case of the Boulder grocery store event, where you heard a handgun going off, not the sound of an AR-15, which has a high-velocity 223 bullet, makes a distinctive sound passing through air. Number three, nobody in the crowd flinched. They didn't duck for cover. They didn't try to get out of the way. How is that possible? If someone's shot, you have a reaction. It's like this Derek kid being shot near Minneapolis by a woman who, a police officer of 20 years experience, who purportedly mistook her laser for her handgun. Ridiculous. The handgun is on the side of your handedness. So if you're right-handed, your handgun is on your right side, your taser on the left. If you're left-handed, your service revolver is on your left side, your taser on your right. They look and feel quite differently. Most tasers are actually color-coded yellow or orange, but the feel of a taser would be completely different than the feel of a gun. When she claims taser, 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 and then ostensibly fires, there is no sound of a shot. There is no sound of a shot. There is no recoil from the weapon. No recoil. She steps back and says, "Holy shit, I shot him." And the officers say, "You did? What happened?" How could they not know what happened if she'd actually shot him? You cannot have the firing of a gun with no sound. But this gun made no sound. This was another fake staged event. Moreover, given the angle at which she was shooting, he would have had his internal organs decimated. He would have been unable to drive, and yet he drives off. Well, we're getting faked events on the right and on the left. Here we have the claim Babbitt being a Trump supporter. Well, she was a fake Trump supporter like the rest of those who were surging into the table. The real Trump supporters hadn't even reached the Capitol building as yet. Babbitt, who was unarmed, was shot and killed without apparent warning by a plainclothes Capitol police officer as he climbed through a broken window in a door at the speaker's lobby. The name of the officer was not released. Listen to this now. The investigation revealed no evidence to establish beyond a reasonable doubt that the officer willfully committed a violation of 18 U.S. Code 242. Specifically, the investigation revealed no evidence to establish that at the time the officer fired a single shot at Ms. Babbitt, the officer did not reasonably believe that it was necessary to do so in self-defense or in defense of the members of Congress and others evacuating the House chamber. Well, that's absurd. That's absurd. She was 8 to 10 feet away. There was nothing about self-defense. She wasn't even armed. And moreover, the reference to reasonable doubt is completely ridiculous. It's not the role of the investigation to establish beyond a reasonable doubt, only to establish probable cause. This is ridiculous beyond belief, beyond belief. It continues, acknowledging the tragic loss of life and offering condolences to Ms. Babbitt's family. The U.S. Attorney's Office and U.S. Department of Justice have therefore closed the investigation into this matter. Just a blatant cover-up because she wasn't killed. It was another fake shooting. Another fake shooting. And they had to have it. They had to orchestrate a fake shooting so they could call the Capitol riot deadly. This was purely for propaganda and public relation purposes. they had to be able to claim it was a deadly shooting. Meanwhile, both the prosecution and the defense have rested in the case of the Derek Chauvin trial for ostensibly bringing about the death of George Floyd. Here's a very good piece about it by Jemima McAvoy. Listen to this. The prosecution and defense rested their cases Thursday morning in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin over the death of George Floyd, bringing the country to the precipice of a verdict that, heightened by outrage over two other recent police killings, had that alleged, since they appear to be fake as well, is expected to send shockwaves no matter the outcome. Key facts. After 2 weeks of testimony from 38 witnesses called by the prosecution, Chauvin's defense attorney, Eric Nelson, concluded a roughly three-day presentation to jurors involving seven witnesses that attempted to poke holes in the state's argument that Chauvin's actions caused Floyd's death. Then both sides will have their final shot at appealing to jurors in closing arguments before deliberations begin on Monday, a process that could take hours, days, or weeks. Whether what Chauvin's defense has done will be enough to persuade the jury is a close call, says Minnesota defense attorney Mike Brand, as while the case put forward a strong case, the defense doesn't have to prove anything, just cast reasonable doubt, he emphasized. Meanwhile, University of Minnesota law professor David Schultz, who is teaching a class on the trial, says he would be totally stunned to see Chauvin acquitted on the three murder and manslaughter charges based on evidence he described as pretty overwhelming. However, Schultz said he believes a hung jury in which jurors can't come to agreement on one or more of the charges to be the most likely outcome, at which point the judge may declare a mistrial. Let me elaborate on why I think he's right about it and why it's going to be difficult, even impossible, to find him guilty. And that's precisely because in a jury trial, the jurors in a case of this kind are required to come to a unanimous conclusion one way or in terms of conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, the meaning of that is as follows, properly understood. No alternative explanation is reasonable. In other words, that they're forced to the conclusion that Derek Chauvin's knee on the neck of George Floyd, which even the judge has found was not actually on the neck, and therefore is only allowing them to talk about in the area of the neck, was so convincing that no alternative explanation is reasonable. But think about it. Number one, while there are witnesses who claim this was excessive force, there are others who deny that is the case. Number two, Minneapolis police are instructed to use this technique of a knee on the neck or on the back to subdue a suspect who is struggling, though I would grant at this point lying on the ground, George Floyd does not appear to be putting up any resistance. Number three, you have two major arteries on either side, the carotid artery, but if you suppress one of them, blood still gets to the brain by way of the other. In other words, even if Derek Chauvin had his knee on the neck of George Floyd, which he did not literally actually have, it would not have cut off the flow of blood to his brain and therefore would have been most unlikely to bring about his death. Now, there is an autopsy report on experts who testified that he died from asphyxiation. But asphyxiation has more than one potential explanation. George Floyd was arrested for ostensibly passing a counterfeit $20 bill. But he was in a vehicle with his drug dealer, In other words, Floyd was a petty distributor of drugs he received from his drug dealer who took the Fifth and was not required to testify, even though the judge was carving out an exception so he could testify only about the drugs he gave to George Floyd. Number two, George Floyd said, "I ate too many drugs." When one of the prosecution witnesses was under cross-examination, Floyd's defense attorney, Chauvin's defense attorney, played a video where I could clearly hear George Floyd say, "I ate too many drugs." The witness, the prosecution witness, claimed he couldn't make out the words. But if I could make out the words, he could make out the words. Number three, it appears that George Floyd consumed drugs he'd been given by his dealer so they wouldn't be available as evidence, and that the drugs he consumed cause an overdose. We have the toxicology report showing he had fentanyl, amphetamines, cannabis in his system in copious quantity. And it appears that one of the effects of a drug overdose is that it restricts your respiratory system and makes it difficult for you to breathe. While it is true that George Floyd, lying on the ground, said several times, "I can't breathe," George Floyd was already saying, "I can't breathe," when he was inside the squad car, and as memory serves me, even before. In other words, George Floyd was not saying, "I can't breathe," as a consequence of Derek Chauvin's knee on an area near his neck, but because his respiratory system was collapsing due to a massive drug overdose, which incidentally could thereby lead to deaths from asphyxiation because he could not breathe, not because of Derek Chauvin's knee, but because of the drug overdose. Therefore, I submit there is a reasonable alternative explanation to Derek Chauvin's knee having brought about his death. Given that there is a reasonable alternative explanation, the jury cannot, in accordance with the evidence and the law, find Derek Chauvin guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I therefore believe he will either be acquitted or, as this Minnesota law professor David Schultz observes, a hung jury. And frankly, that would be the best possible outcome. An outright acquittal would be used as a pretext for BLM and Antifa to riot, where I was very pleased to see that in the nearby city, the police came out in force after the shooting, you know, the taser gun mistaken for a taser, and actually declared what was going on an unlawful assembly, imposed a curfew, and locked it down. That was the right thing to do. This report, which is excellent, continues as follows. "Nobody is going to be happy at the end of this case," said Justin Hanford, a Howard University Law School professor and Black Lives Matter activist who runs the university's Thurgood Marshall Civil Rights Center. "If Chauvin gets off, it's going to be like a Rodney King situation," Hanford said, referring to the 1992 riots in L.A. following the jury's decision to acquit the officers who brutally beat Rodney King. "If he's convicted, the prosecution's case is that he's a bad apple. Neither the defense nor the prosecution's narrative is going to make the protesters happy." Here's further background. The trial's conclusion comes amid a resurgence of unrest following a police killing just 10 miles away from where Chauvin's trial is taking place, where Dante Wright, an unarmed 20-year-old black man, was fatally shot by a Brooklyn Center police officer during a traffic stop Sunday afternoon. The suburban city has been flooded with protesters every night since, with civil rights leaders gathering to call for justice and highlighting connections between the two cases. Yet another police killing case sparked outrage Thursday as the city of Chicago released police body camera footage from a March 29th shooting of 13-year-old Adam Toledo. While police originally claimed a Chicago police officer shot the boy after an armed confrontation, the video appeared to show Toledo without a weapon and his hands in the air at the moment he was fatally shot. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot pleaded with Chicagoans to remain calm after viewing the video at a Thursday news conference. Let me add, by the way, that the Dante Wright case, the timing was exquisite. After the prosecution had rested its case, the judge, in my opinion, highly unwisely did not sequester the jury. So they would have seen all the news reports, television, radio, newspapers about the Dante Wright ostensible death. Whereas I have been explaining, it appears to be another staged event. You do not hear the sound of the gun. You do not see any recoil. You do not see any damage from the bullet. The other officers present react with surprise when she claims, "Oh shit, I shot him." It's ridiculous beyond belief. But that's what we're being besieged with over and over and over again. Let me emphasize, too, that while you're hearing nothing in the press but murders of blacks who are killed by whites, that's actually historically a very rare occurrence. If you look at murders of blacks and whites in the U.S. in 2013, for example, per million members of the murderer's race, blacks killed by blacks runs like 55 per million, which is 55 times as many as blacks killed by whites, which is less than 1 per million, less than 1 per million. Whites killed by blacks, roughly 10 per million. Whites killed by whites, slightly over 10 per million. Blacks killed by whites, less than 1 per million. And Lori Lightfoot is playing an absurd and obscene role here. There are more deaths in Chicago from black-on-black shootings using handguns every weekend than we get from all these other fake shootings put together. It's outrageous. The American people are being played. Bear in mind now, you can call in to the show, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, when we come back from the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to have as my first caller who declares he's locked and loaded, Paul from California. Join the conversation, Paul.
Good morning, Professor. I have a question for you. If I was to wear two masks instead of one, would that be a better protection against these zircon missiles that Putin's going to swing at me?
Yeah, I know. It's absurd, isn't it? And Fauci, who knows better, is recommending wearing multiple masks. This guy, whom I have declared will turn out to be the greatest mass murderer in history, bringing about the deaths of tens of millions because of his pseudoscientific fake medical advice, which is designed to harm Americans. My God, we have to see through it. He has to pay for his crimes. Paul, go for it. Yeah, the Zircon missiles, I have no doubt these are real. They are accurate. Russian weaponry is far superior to Americans. The great advantage they have is that those who build weapons for Russia aren't driven by the profit motive, which leads American contractors to turn out inferior equipment so they'll get projects, contracts to maintain them where they double or triple their profits. It's outrageous.
Well, it may come as a small surprise that I will take a little bit of a contrary position. In the famous words of George C. Scott, who was playing Patton, movie by the same name, I'm not drinking with any Russian son of a bitch. I think this is a lot of Jew theater as usual. I don't believe any of it is really real. I am going to predict that we're not going to have any kind of war with Russia. We're certainly not going to have a nuclear war. And in my opinion, this whole Zircon missile, which if I heard you correctly, you said it traveled approximately 9 times the speed of sound. Is that what you said?
Let me find the description they have here. Less than 5 minutes from launch, 9 times the speed of sound, according to Reuters.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to call BS on that, mainly because the 5 minutes doesn't make any sense. If 9 times the speed of sound would be right about 7,000 miles an hour. So I don't know what distance they're talking about can be covered in 5 minutes by such a missile. But here's the other problem. If you recall, on another show, a friend of mine from Arkansas, Gary, called in. Now, he has a degree in physics, but all he did was access the publicly available data on the X-15, where at approximately 4,500 miles an hour, the titanium frame was starting to melt. So, you know, it would have to be at an altitude so high. So how would it get to such a high altitude, and then it would have to kick in, you know, and go faster once it reached to an altitude where whatever material they're using would withstand such temperatures? And I don't know what material exists that could withstand such temperatures generated by that speed. But, you know, that's another topic. This is just my take on it. Now, the other thing that I'm aware of is apparently, according to the various military sources, the fastest objects in the military arsenal are supposedly owned by the Navy. They fire a tungsten rod at approximately 6,000 or so miles an hour, but it only covers a distance of about 100 miles. So, again, we might not be getting, you know, shall we say, the full and complete truth in all these various stories and what I would call, you know, fear-mongering rumor mills. Here's one other thing to consider based upon what can be known about Putin. I've been to various white nationalist sites for many, many, many years before I started calling this show. And none of them are a fan of Putin, even though he has shown some nationalist tendencies in Russia. The bottom line is he's been cooperating with the Zionists for a very long time. And this is borne out by many things, including tons of pictures with, you know, various Jewish leaders in Russia. And he's done and said a number of things, including, for example, making Holocaust denial a crime punishable by imprisonment in Russia. So, you know, I can't totally trust Putin. And plus, if you know these things about the Israeli influence on our government and our foreign policy, I mean, if what you say is true, and I don't doubt that much of it is, that we don't really have our own State Department. We have an Israeli State Department. So if this can be known by you and everybody else, how come Putin can't know this? And why wouldn't he just come out and say that instead of making nuclear threats? He could just come out and say to the press, to the world press, to us, that, hey, I know what's going on. I know what the score is.
Well, Paul, I'm not a mind reader of Vladimir Putin, nor even of you, but I certainly welcome your dissenting opinion. I believe the short flight time was based upon the assumption it would be fired from Russian submarines off of the coast of the United States. And I presume you don't have any serious doubt that there are Russian submarines off the coast of the United States. So I don't think that the flight time is in serious doubt. Your question about the temperature, of course, melting points and all that, it's a question of the difference between temperature and heat. Is there enough time for the temperature to raise the heat in the metals for them to melt? In my research on the moon landing, for example, one of the arguments is that the temperatures that would have been endured by the spacecraft en route to the moon would be so high that they would cause all the components on the spacecraft to melt, but it would depend on how rapidly they transited. It's like running your hand through a flame. You can put your hand through a flame, and even though the flame is hot, as long as your hand doesn't remain there long enough for the heat to build up on your hand, it would be similar for the metals. So I'm not quite convinced by your argument, but I certainly welcome your making the argument. I would sure like to think all this is nothing but political theater, but frankly, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, where you have a major declaration about specific targets. It all looks a little too plausible to me, Paul, but I certainly welcome your skepticism, because I'd much prefer that we not be on the brink of nuclear war, even though it looks to me as though we just may be. Continue your rebuttal.
I will say that your time and temperature arguments are fair points, you know, and the proximity of the subs, those are fair points worth entering into the equation. I still am pretty convinced, based upon how everything that we're living through is fraud and theater, that I think that this is probably more of the same. By the way, I was going to ask you, did you see some of the articles out there online at the different sites that this supposedly newest, you know, shooting victim, Dante Wright's teacher, was George Floyd's girlfriend?
Yes, how absurd. And, you know, the whole idea, this whole George Floyd thing is such a farce, in my opinion. And yet you have Antifa, Black Lives Matter activists declaring that, you know, cities are going to go up in smoke. I actually believe that a hung jury is the best possible outcome. A hung jury, the best possible outcome. Because then nobody can claim victory. He didn't get acquitted, but he also didn't get arrested. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating situation. So I like that outcome. And given that I have no doubt, in spite of, you know, selecting a jury that was supposed to be willing to arrive at decisions based on the evidence and the law, that there are some members who are going to be up for convicting him regardless. My only hope is that there are a few, possibly only even one or two, who have enough respect for the alternative explanation, which in my opinion is not only completely reasonable, but for which there is more evidence, which makes it, from a scientific point of view, the preferable among the two alternative hypotheses, and therefore cannot vote to convict because there's a reasonable alternative explanation.
Well, so that would, those would all be arguments and fair points if this was real and not theater. But I'm fully on the side of Danny Sirius. I don't think any of this is real. I think it's all theater. And as you know, I'm fond of making predictions. I've already made a prediction about no war and certainly no nuclear war. So I'm going to make a prediction that it's not going to be a hung jury. It's going to be an acquittal. And they're going to gin up the riots because, as you know, we're coming up on the communist favorite holiday, May Day. So I think this is all scripted to play out exactly as I think we both know it's going to.
By the way, I owe you a book, Paul. I've got it actually here. I'm going to inscribe it and get it to you, my friend, because it was due to you as of 1 April when we didn't have a restitution of a Trump administration that the White Hats have not acted to bring about the removal of this completely illegitimate Biden-Harris administration. I don't think any serious person has any doubt that the administration is illegitimate, but the question becomes what can or will be done about it. Do you have any further thoughts? Are we just going to endure?
Well, as I'm fond of saying, Donald Trump is my president, even though he's not. No. What else can be said? What is it we're looking at? Apparently, we don't have our own State Department anymore. We don't have our own elections. We don't even have a Joe Biden. We got a body double. He's signing things on a Hollywood set or some sort of a set somewhere and not actually, at the White House. It's just, don't you just feel like every day you just need a drink?
Yes. By the way, Bruce sent a story here, a report. Italian lawmaker calls for arrest of creepy Bill Gates and charges of crimes against humanity. An Italian PM has called for billionaire Bill Gates to face trial in the International Criminal Court for charges of crimes against humanity. Sara Cunio, a member of Italy's parliament, is accusing Microsoft founder Gates of working on depopulation and dictatorial control plans around the world. The story continues. The politician blasted Gates, the second richest man in the world, for meddling in global politics while alleging he's playing a sinister role in the coronavirus pandemic. I agree with all of that, of course. I think that's exactly right. It's completely disgusting. And I think it is welcome. I'm delighted that Bruce sent us this story to report here and now. Any further thoughts you have about coronavirus, Gates, and all that, Paul?
Well, I feel Gates, like a lot of these you know, high up criminal operators is obviously protected. And I don't think anything's going to, you know, no harm will come to him, judicial or otherwise, unless this harm is administered by, shall we say, interested outside parties. Just for the fun of it, I'll let you know that I'm actually on duty right now. I'm working a hospital site, which I worked one time before. I'm filling in for another guard who called off. And they have a drive-up COVID testing where there is no line. I already walked through the hospital earlier inside. It's virtually empty. The floors are very polished and clean, and there doesn't seem to be that many patients. So we're in the pandemic that never happened.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's actually the title of a blog I've just published by William DeBerg, The Pandemic That Wasn't. And I think you're making a very telling point based on your direct personal observations of being there at the hospital, Paul. I mean, that's significant confirmation. This whole thing is a hoax. And of course, they're moving as rapidly as they can to get as many vaccinated as possible, precisely because the bad effects, the ill effects, the damage you're doing by getting vaccinated will start to show up. And once it starts to show up, enthusiasm for vaccination is going to diminish dramatically. I've been doing everything I can to get the word out. It's quite a good article at jamesfetzer.org, and I'll even share parts of it with you here. But I think, Paul, you would like this even more so. Lockdowns, get this, lockdowns destroy all competition to the companies owned by the 30 Illuminati families. Questions for DC Swamp Creatures. This is from Video Rebels blog. I have suggested some questions for the DC Swamp Creatures that the DC Swamp Creatures should answer. Jean-Luc Montagnier won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 2008. He said COVID-19 was made in a lab. It contained strands from the HIV virus. The spike protein was engineered from SARS into COVID. This allows it to enter into human cells. Four new sequences were engineered into COVID from the HIV virus, including the GP41 envelope, which is a key for HIV to infect human bodies. Dr. Francis Anthony Boyle, who wrote America's Bioterrorism Law, agrees it was made in a lab. Question, do you support a criminal investigation with criminal charges and a death penalty for all those involved in killing millions of people worldwide? If not, why not? I think also his point that it turns out that the companies that are benefiting from wiping out the middle class and small businesses are owned by Illuminati is absolutely fascinating. Here's more. COVID-19 was designed to kill the economy so you could blame the virus and not the bankers who have robbed us of tens of trillions of dollars. David Rothkopf was a managing director of Kissinger Associates back in the 1990s. He wrote the book Superclass, in which he said that the world was run by 30 families and their 6,000 minions. The 30 families are the New World Order. Lockdowns destroy all competition to the companies owned by the 30 families and their 6,000 minions. Do you not see that lockdowns are integral to the New World Order plan for the Great Reset, which will forever reduce everyone to slavery? Who's not a member of one of the 30 families? Question, would you support congressional investigations into the 30 families or 6,000 minions and the NWO for the lockdowns, which destroyed the economy worldwide? Those are really good points, Paul, with which I expect you would wholeheartedly agree.
Well, there's a little bit more than just one or two things there. So, you know, obviously I agree that these people should be more than investigated. I quibble with the idea of a virus bioweapon and all the, you know, the, some sequences. Because viruses are just particles is all they are. And I just I think the whole thing has been fear porn. If it is some kind of so-called engineered bioweapon, it's like the worst engineered bioweapon in history, because as you have reported, the mortality tables are down. So yep. I just think it's more fear nonsense to make us afraid of something that isn't real. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of a virus. We're afraid of surfaces. I freaking hate it. I'm sick of it. Everywhere I go, I'm basically the lone wolf without a mask everywhere. I'm just now trying to talk a friend of mine who is very, very Catholic. I've known him for a very long time. You know, he agrees. He thinks this whole thing is satanic. He thinks it's all run by Jews. You know, he agrees with all these things, but he is really not brave enough to walk into these stores without a mask. And he's, you know, I've given him information about the law that isn't. And he may go with me next week, because I said, why don't you go with me? I want you to get me. I've tried to get multiple people to record my interactions, so at least I have a witness, because that's always a lot stronger when you're trying to bring a case against these people. But, you know, it's the average person. They just don't want to hassle. I don't really understand it. I guess I've always been a defiant type. You know, I'm not changed since I'm 18 or 19, except I know more. But I just walk right into these places. I walk right past the table. Some of these places have a little table checkpoint set up with a person there with a free mask to offer and hand sanitizer on the table. What I'd really love to do is take a baseball bat and start smashing things, but I don't. I just walk in there, and more times than not, I'm not bothered. Occasionally I am, and I just say, hey, if Gavin Newsom doesn't have the authority to make me wear a mask, and the county health officer doesn't have the authority to make me wear a mask, how can you? And of course, it reaches a few, but it's lost on most, because they start talking about, oh, well, it's our policy and a private business. Oh yeah, is that so? So this whole thing is a psychological operation, taking advantage of people's ignorance about everything. As you know, I've stated on this show, I'm a college dropout. You know, I say that tongue in cheek. I went to college. I qualified to go to the University of California. You know, at the time that I went, my grades and my SAT scores were sufficient for me to get into any UC I wanted, including Berkeley. I had a letter of acceptance from Berkeley. But excellent. Of course, you know, that doesn't qualify me as an expert on anything, but I just believe I've had for many decades a God-given ability to ferret out bullshit. And other people don't seem to have this ability, and it's quite frustrating, as you can tell from many of my calls dating back years.
Well, Paul, I think you have a very active intellect, and you are very good at seeing through bullshit. I commend you for that. I've always held that opinion of you, and I certainly think today you're displaying it very well. I think your critique of the threat of nuclear war, while I may disagree with your conclusion, you nevertheless make good arguments so that your opinion is not a mere speculation, but supported by some reasons. And I think you make an impeccable point about whether the virus itself is real, whether there's a real bona fide threat here or not. Because I agree with you, it is the vaccine that is the instrument of death, not the virus. You would like, I think, William DeBorg blog, The Pandemic That Wasn't. Let me just share a couple of the paragraphs, which you can find on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Many have argued since its inception that COVID-19 was not the pandemic that governments and medical establishment and the media have led us to believe. The COVID-19 outbreak on the Diamond Princess cruise ship in early March, still the best controlled COVID-19 data, was the first telling sign. Over 3,000 passengers tested, 712 found COVID virus positive, 13 died. The case fatality rate of 1.8% was higher than for influenza, but lower than for SARS or MERS. But limited medical treatments were available during the ship outbreak, and the median age of the passengers was in the mid-60s, so that the age-adjusted risk of COVID for the general population would be less than 0.05% in the normal flu range. Then in October, Genevieve Briand of Johns Hopkins published research since retracted by the university, actually suppressed, that showed there were no excess deaths in the United States in 2020, with most COVID deaths attributed to the result of classifying other sources, principal heart disease, as COVID. And of course, as you know, as I've reported here, there were 38 million cases of flu last season, but fewer than 2,000 this. Do we think somehow 37,998,000 cases of flu just disappeared? No, they've been reclassified as COVID, where John Rappaport and Edward Henry have been especially effective in exposing the ambiguity of the word case, and where the false positives from the PCR test have allowed them to generate these completely fictional numbers about infection rates and the seriousness of the disease. So I basically think you've got it right, Paul, and I agree with your hesitancy to acknowledge that there really is a bona fide virus. I think there's certainly reason to believe, whether there's a bona fide virus or not, it has never been isolated. And if it has never been isolated, there cannot be a vaccine for it. That what they're putting into our bodies has completely different effects. It's not going to protect us, but it's going to do tremendous damage. It's using mRNA technology to change our DNA. Judy Mikovits, one of the leading experts in the field, was on the show with me and Giuseppe a week ago Wednesday when we talked about this. And when I reported to her, asked for confirmation that the shots are actually weakening our immune system so that we are susceptible to a viral attack next time around, that our bodies will attack our own bodies and die a painful death, and that it's generating prions, which cause mad cow disease. Sad to say, Judy confirmed both were the case. We're coming up to the break. Stick around, Paul. Anyone else who'd like to call in, the number 540-352-4452, right here on The Raw Deal.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where Paul's here. I would especially encourage Scaredy Cat to call in. I was really upset I couldn't get her on the last, I think it was Wednesday, with Nick Kohlerstrom, because we ran out of time. So I'd be very glad if Scaredy were to call in, or anyone else, of course, for that matter. The number 540-352-4452, I repeat. 540-352-4452, where Mitchell will field your call. Just to add a bit more from William DeBerg's blog on jamesfetzer.org, the pandemic was most obviously a reclassification of cause of death promoted by world and national health agencies. In the United States, for example, everything from heart disease to pneumonia to the normal flu, and even gunshot fatalities were attributed to COVID in 2020. Did some individuals die exclusively because of exposure to the coronavirus? Quite possibly. Were some indirect deaths, such as suicide, elevated because of the lockdowns? Quite likely. But these cause a spike in deaths or life insurance premiums? No, they did not. And Ben Swan, of course, did a wonderful job of inviting an expert on life insurance to explain how he was an expert in mathematical modeling and statistics, and that it had caused no increase in life insurance premiums, which are exactly the same this year as they were last. Meanwhile, he also writes, a funny thing happened on the way to the elite's Great Reset. The number of people in the United States willing to get injected with a COVID vaccine leveled off in mid-March and may have peaked in early April, with the total number of vaccinated Americans falling below expectations. The vaccine supply is more than adequate, so the decreasing interest in vaccinations could be a sign that the unvaccinated remainder of the American population, overwhelmingly below the age of 50, has finally begun to fear the vaccines more than COVID itself. This is not surprising, since there have been over 10,000 reported deaths and serious injuries due to the vaccines in the U.S. alone, and the WHO questions both the concept of vaccination passports and the long-term effectiveness of the vaccines. Paul, you're welcome to add your further thoughts about any of the above or other issues.
Well, I would just say, I think the fair takeaway from our discussion prior, and, you know, the what you covered in the first hour, is that wearing a mask or two masks offers no protection against a poisonous vaccine or a nuclear explosion. Would that be?
Yes.
Would that be?
Oh, sure.
You know, I at this point, I mean, like I said, the only lines I've seen, by the way, there actually have been some lines across the street. You know, it's about maybe a half a mile or so from my house. There's a Kaiser Permanente complex. And, you know, when the first, you know, hype of COVID testing came out, you know, they put an outdoor facility in the parking lot and there were people coming through and getting tested. And also they had a line for flu shots before the vaccine was available. And then again, I observed on one Sunday when the vaccines first came out, there was a standing room only line, you know, people standing 6 foot apart in the parking lot on a weekend waiting to get vaccinated. So, you know, it just shows, you know, what fools and dupes the average American person is. That's the most troubling takeaway. I believe that COVID-19 is nothing more than an operation with that label. As my I could pull up the archives from my call back in March or so of last year when you have me on record as calling it a snipe hunt. And I said, I don't believe there's anything new in the natural world. And I've since think that I've crammed my head with a little bit more than I had back then. And I don't think viruses are anything that can be, quote, engineered, given the fact that they vary. And when you look up the definition of a virus, it actually will tell you, oh, it's a piece of RNA or a piece of DNA and a protein coat, inert, inorganic, no cellular respiration because it ain't a cell, no metabolism, no reproduction, asexual or sexual, and supposedly gets into our cells and, quote, hijacks the cellular machinery. And it's just all bunk. I believe the whole conventional explanation of viruses has been bunk for over 100 years, and I've recently discovered a new guy by the name of Dr. Robert O. Young, and he's exactly aligned with Andrew Kaufman, with Thomas Cowan, with Stefan Lanka, that this is all just a bunch of nonsense, and I don't believe that any numbers they trot out or survival rate or testing, it's all BS. I mean, can you be tested for how many snipes you caught? No.
I like it.
That's my...
Yeah, I think you were prescient. Yeah, I think you were among the first to nail it, certainly to my knowledge. We have two more callers standing by. Michael from North Carolina. Join the conversation, Michael.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Paul. I wanted to call in and add my voice of support exactly to what Paul is talking about right now. I think the really...
Please leave your message for 7203630071.
Go ahead, Michael.
I don't know what that was.
Well, it's Mitchell trying to call back to get somebody who called in, but we got lost. Okay, just go ahead.
I was just saying that.
Turn up your volume just a tad, Michael. Turn up your volume just a tad if you can. Go ahead.
All right. Is that any better?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying that I completely agree with what Paul's saying right now, that the really visionary medical thinkers are calling bullshit on the whole virus paradigm that you and I have been living under for our entire lives. It's been the orthodoxy maintained by consensus as opposed to real scientific testing and discovery. And Tom Cowan has a statement that goes as follows. In the entire history of virology, there has never been a virus that's been properly isolated and shown to cause disease. Our whole concept of viruses is wrong.
Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. Michael, I want you to stand by while I bring in another caller, Saul from Colorado. Saul, join the conversation, too, with Paul and Michael.
Hi, guys. I just want to tell you a couple things that should give you a little hope about stuff. In southern Utah, there were 50 students that said that they weren't going to wear the mask, and they were all suspended at Hurricane High School and they're going to be on the Kate Daly show this afternoon at 2 o'clock Mountain Time. There was a parent that called into her show that said that he supports his son not wearing the mask, and if they get suspended for that, you know, so be it. So we're starting to see some people stand up for their rights and realizing this mask thing is stupid and ridiculous. And before I let you answer, I've got one more resource. I'm not sure if you knew about it. It's a website. It's called masksickness.ca, a Canadian website with a lot of good articles, Canadian and worldwide related regarding that.
Well, even that's all very good, Saul. Yeah, there are going to be just a flurry of lawsuits over all of this. The state governors have exceeded their legal authority. The federal government is all outrageous. The school districts. We know about the masks, that they're incapable of filtering the virus, which is only 0.1 microns in size, and the mask can only filter particles greater than 0.3 microns in size. We also know, and Tony the Rat himself was involved in a study that established that deaths from the Spanish flu, which took tens of millions of lives worldwide, were predominantly not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia infections, which are promoted by, guess what, wearing masks. That to require someone to wear a mask, for example, is a violation of their rights under the Nuremberg Code, under international law. You cannot force a person to take to undertake a medical procedure without, you know, specifying its pros and cons. In this case, disadvantages, the damage done to your health by wearing a mask is overwhelmingly greater than the damage, the protection you receive from it, especially when it appears the whole pandemic appears to be fraudulent. I'll invite all your comments, but go ahead, Paul. We have another caller standing by. Go ahead, Paul.
So just quickly, I'll just point out that, you know, a lot of the things that you say are great, and many of them are, like I said, you've said them so many times, they're kind of like pre-recorded. But we don't need any protection that the mask might offer if it did offer any protection. Okay, we don't need any protection from viruses. Mainstream medical sources will tell you that viruses are endogenous to the body. And they're endogenously created, just like we create everything, right? We create everything within our own body. Nobody outside of us helps us to create our own cells. And viruses are created by the body. And as Raymond Royal Rife said, among the many things that he observed, is that all these things are pleomorphic. And you can actually, there's medical papers that you can read where things have been observed to change forms as somebody is looking at them under a powerful optical microscope. Organisms have been observed changing their form. So the world is not as it's been explained to us by conventional authorities, and we know who controls conventional narrative.
Yeah, I think we agree with all that. Meanwhile, we have another caller from the 410 area code in Maryland. Just give us your first name, Maryland. Caller, join the conversation. 410 area code, Maryland, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim and Sal and Paul and Mike. Hey, this is Scaredy Cat. I'm calling on my parents' phone. And,
okay.
Thank you so much, Jim, for your kind invitation. I heard my name, just like, was it Carly Simon's husband's Paul Taylor song? Just call out my name and I will come running. So, something also just to let you know, this moment, something totally weird is happening. So you mentioned my name about 10 minutes ago, and I called on my phone, but it keeps saying my call cannot go through. And every minute I've kept calling on my phone. So I have like 6 or 7 phone calls, even up to this minute. And it continues to say on my telephone number. But about like 9 minutes ago, 9 or 8 minutes ago, I used my parents' phone and it went through. And then even on my phone, when I tried again, it kept repeating that my phone number.
Scary, take advantage of being on the air and give us your thoughts. Tell us.
No. I'm going to tell you. I was just letting you know this because it happened this moment and it seems some kind of phone technology blocking. just
go ahead.
Okay, maybe you can think about that a little bit. And so I had called last time for your guest, your very famous guest, Nick Kollerstrom, just to let you know that I've been listening to a nationalist group, like an English group, and he's English, just to let him know they are very, very decent people, and they sound very good-hearted, and they're doing everything grassroots. I was just wanting him to know that it's called the Patriotic Alternative, run by Mark Collette, Collett for Truly Terrific. Just watch his BitChute channel, and he has very young men. Mark is 40. He has a guest who I want to be the next King of England. He calls himself Richard the Lionheart from the Middle Ages, and his name is Josh, I think. And in America, we have the same thing, and I wanted to let you know Mike Pinovich's name. Mike, regularly spelt, and Pinovich is P as in perfect.
He's a Jew, scaredy cat. He's been outed
really?
Before by white nationalists. Yes, Pinovich.
Oh my
Jew.
Gosh!
People,
I thought that was a good
him
party.
And make fun of him. Yeah, I'm sorry yep. to jump in. I'll jump back out. But a lot of these alternative yeah. white nationalist leaders have been outed as Jews or crypto Jews. So
right.
he for sure. So go ahead. I'm
by,
sorry about
wait.
That.
By the way, scaredy, I believe the next king of getting a lot of static and background. I believe the next king of England will be King John III, who's actually Craig Collette, whom I happen to know personally. We have another call here of Tony from Chicago. Tony, go ahead and give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I just ran across something interesting on the WGN TV website. FEMA just started yesterday a funeral reimbursement program for COVID-19 hoax deaths, and they're cutting checks up to $9,000, and supposedly they had 1 million calls. You know, so
a million calls, meaning there are 1 million people who have had deaths from COVID.
Even the hoax numbers aren't even close to 1 million. What are the hoax numbers at? Did they push 600,000? Are we at 600,000?
Look, in all honesty, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if there are that many deaths. See, they're so distributed all over the country, and they're not being reported. And the AVERS system, you know, for reporting only gets 1%. Because it's a complex system, and they have nevertheless reported, several thousand deaths, and if that's only 1%, go ahead.
I'm not talking about vaccine deaths. The Bears USA is over 3,000, and I have that on vaccinehoax.com under the Don't Take It page. The European Bears is 50, almost pushing 5,300. Believe it or not, I mean it's nothing but white. It's self-imposed white. Go ahead.
What's your interpretation of this million response to being offered?
Look at WGN, just like all the rest of the Jews media. It's just it's CIA, Mossad. It all comes from one source, and then it goes all over the country. But you know what? Look at the question I have. I was out protesting at the latest mass vaccine site opened up in Cook County. It's in Southern Cook County. I'm going to be out there again this afternoon with my sign. And the parking lot's filled. And, I simply just can't sit here and watch this mass insanity go on without sticking my two cents in. And I'll be out tomorrow at another one on Saturday. I've had no problems. The amount of support that you get, the amount of people that actually know that this is a hoax and will support you, it's encouraging, but none of them have the balls to go out on the streets. I don't know why it doesn't take any balls. All my signs says it's 4 by 9 feet. It says warning, semicolon, CDC VAERS database reports thousands, you know, the number thousands, okay, with an S, apostrophe S, death slash injuries by COVID-19 in parentheses, hoax, vaccines. You know, that's 4 foot.
Tony, I think it's great you're out there. Keep us posted on these developments. I'm very glad you called to share that. Excellent.
But other people should get their ass out and do this because, you know, this mass insanity needs to be challenged, and I think you want to go here. But my question is, what exactly happened to the American public? Is it the chemtrails? Is it the heavy metals? How are these people able to get away with this? How, you know what I'm saying? Just because it's on TV, why do these people believe this BS? And they're putting this poison in their bodies, setting this up for a mass genocide. What led to this? That's my question. Okay,
Tony, I think there's been a mass dumbing down of the American population. Fluoride, for example, our water's been fluoridated. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It kills brain cells. We have so much propaganda coming from the mainstream media. The level of education in our public schools has descended to unbelievably low levels. It's had a lot to do with social promotion and political correctness. Americans are virtually afraid of their own shadows. So, Tony, I think you're raising really serious questions that we all need to ponder. Yeah.
But on an end note, even with all that, and even all these people walking around with mush in their brains, none of them know anybody that's died from this fraud. They might know some people that died of other diseases and they had from COVID on the death certificate, you know, or people that have flu and they're a little bit sick. Most of these people know none of the even any of those, but they're still flocking to put this poison in their body, and that's just what just blows me away. All right, I'll let you go. I'll update you next week on my escapades. Okay, bye bye.
Good luck. Good luck with your efforts. Terrific. Scaredy Cat, I want to bring you back in since you didn't get a chance really to raise questions of your own. Scaredy, are you still with us?
Hi. Yeah. I'm just trying to get the hang of my parents' phone. So the big picture, which actually Paul brought up to you, so I want to underline it again. The overall picture in the Derek Chauvin, the white policeman trial, the overall picture, Jim, is that he's being treated as a criminal for simply obeying his supervisors in the police department policy. They have a policy which they got taught by Jews, the Jews' technique of putting Jew knees on Palestine's Muslim and Christian necks. And they are using money, which is being sent by America to bring these Jews over here and train our American good-natured, friendly police into turning into savages. And would you or your guest, Danny, the policeman, be able to tell us how to rewind this and go back to original, good-hearted American technique?
Yeah, you're right, Scaredy. A lot of Americans don't know, but the local police departments are being trained by Israelis. I presumed it was being done in Israel, but I suppose it's more cost-effective to send Israeli trainers to the United States to go to local police departments and give them instructions in handling the American citizens the way the Israelis handle the Palestinians. It's corrupting. Maybe this is what Barack Obama's talking about, reimagining our policing. We need to get rid of this absolutely abusive relationship between local police following the Israeli model and the way Americans have had, you know, community-friendly policing in the past. Michael, while you're still here, please add any further thoughts of yours. Michael.
Well, I was going to say, going back to Tony's point about all these people calling in claiming COVID deaths, they're in this whole thing. There have been financial incentives offered, like rewards, or you could call them bribes, given to practically every step in the imposition of this fake pandemic. There's the testing programs get money, hospitalizations get money, putting people on vents got money. And so what they've done, this is another financial incentive to boost the numbers. That they came out with this program and said people who died shortly before the pandemic was announced, like November, December, January, and they think they may have died of COVID, then they can call in and they might be eligible for a $9,000 funeral bonus. So you've got people all over the country saying, oh, my aunt Rose died December the 7th. I think she died of COVID after all.
Yeah. No,
so
that's good, Michael.
A million people calling in.
You're right. Paul, you were the first to call. I want to give you another bite at the apple. Paul, further thoughts?
Yeah, first, a shout out to Tony. If you've not seen the sign that he has, and you know, he's been going out and active in the community for a number of years, actually, because he was a regular caller in the past on Stormfront and talked about his activation there. So much respect to what you're doing, Tony. Just wanted to let you know that. Like I said, the only thing that's real about COVID-19 is it's a psychological operation. I don't think there was ever anything else to it. And I just wish I could communicate to people, we got nothing to be afraid of. And let's just go back to living our lives, because if we do, there's nothing they can do, you know. But sadly, just way too many brainwashed fools walking around, unfortunately. I'll end it with this, which I hopefully you get a chuckle out of. Derek Chauvin never went to the moon, and George Floyd didn't kill anybody at Sandy Hook. I think he would agree to him.
Paul, Saul, Michael, Scaredy Cat, Tony, thank you for the calls. Excellent, excellent. I had a special guest lined up. We're going to bring him back in the future. You're going to enjoy it. Thank you all for listening. There's a whole lot going on out there. And let's just say how grateful I am to Revolution Radio for doing so much to bring the truth to so many. Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, thanking you all for listening.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.